Well, let's get ourselves back. Are we recording? You didn't record all that, did you? Okay. Okay. We have to leave those gems out, you know, something just for us. The internet listeners don't get in on all that stuff. So, okay. Well, as we ended our last lesson, we were talking about leading up to, and what I want to do is kind of set the stage a little bit more for what we're going to be doing. And that is when you're at the point where you've received the instruction of wisdom and justice as a son, and you're here in Romans 13 and you end verse 7, there's a lot of things that the father knows now is going to be important to take place in a son's life, so that what he's actually done and what's now taken place in the son to get to the point where he's now going to begin receiving the instruction of judgment. Godly love and charity has now been developed to a point where it has the capacity to make some discerning, judgmental decisions based upon it and it alone, as it now exists in four and will have five major features and characteristics to it before we get done with our first component of our instruction of judgment. Therefore, in light of all of that, knowing what now is going to be taking place, what's going to be demanded of a son, the uptick or the anteing up in the work that he's going to have to do, the flesh is going to ante up in its resistance to what the son is going to do. Really, in a sense, what we've done when we arrive at verse 8, when you finish verse 7, before going on to verse 8, we've now arrived at another sonship checkpoint. But it's not what I would call I'm going to use this expression for lack of a better one, it's not a hard checkpoint such as Romans 12, 1 and 2 was, or such as we will have another one come up before we get done with the book of Romans, but it is what might be called a mild sonship checkpoint. So it's not going to entail quite as much as it did back in Romans 12, 1 and 2, to where you would, you know, write this down in a book almost, make it a yearly celebration and anniversary event that, you know, like some people remember the time in which they were actually justified into eternal life, when they truly accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their only and all-sufficient Savior. The other most critical moment in your life really should be when you went to your father and you raised your hand to him, or you made some declaration to him that you are presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. And at that moment was so critical that you want to remember it. Well, this is just underneath that. This isn't quite like that, but for all intents and purposes, that's the way I'm going to treat this, is that we are at a mild sonship checkpoint. And so therefore, what we're going to have to do at this point is kind of put our studies in the book of Romans on pause, so to speak, and we're going to have to do some work back in the exhortations and in the expectations of a father that are found back there in the book of Proverbs. And my understanding is that when you reach the end of Romans 13:7, you really are at a transition point. It's a great moment, because a father knows what his son has now got the capacity and ability to do, and yet on the other hand, he knows that it could be potentially fraught with problems if everything's not up and running properly and effectually working. But you are at a transition. You're going to now transition from wisdom and justice into judgment and equity, and you're going to transition into a time in which you're going to not only begin to attract the attention of the adversary, but you're going to be able to really put on display some of the major features of who God has made you to be in Christ, and to be Christ-like and to emulate your Father and be conformed to the image of Christ in some marvelous ways and some very powerful ways. And so it is a transition point, because the corresponding exhortations and expectations that I've looked at and that we're going to look at back in the book of the Proverbs indicate that in order for in order to move into the instruction of judgment, the decision-making skill of judgment requires, it demands that you have all the godly wisdom and all the godly justice running well, because it's going to take all the godly wisdom and all the godly justice in order to make the judgments you're going to have to make. And a father knows that. And he, even though the son may not be aware of it, he knows that even though the first thing his son's education is going to be receiving, he knows he's going to receive four sonship decision-making skills: wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. He knows that. The father knows, as I said before, that those can actually be looked at in two groups of two: the wisdom and the justice, and the judgment and the equity. The father knows that because he knows there's a major transition point that takes place between judgment and justice, or justice and judgment. And therefore, when you reach the end of the first two decision-making skill sets, you've come to the point where the father can say, son, you know, you now, even though we're not finished with level one quite yet, but son, you now have reached a level of attainment. This is one of those major times where you can put your head against the wall and draw, inscribe a mark, because you've now reached a level of attainment where that godly love's been developed. It can now do some things in a far greater capacity than ever before. And the skill sets that you've gained and the additional issues of those skill sets that they've produced within you, the likes and the dislikes of your father, don't you remember that? I haven't mentioned that in a very long time. But along with getting just the data down, you're also getting your father's heart on the matter. You're getting to know what he likes and what he dislikes. And that table of likes and dislikes is always being developed and always being added to and always being kept up with as you gain your father. That's why we go back and we looked at some things about the way our father, and we're going to do it again when it comes to the fifth major feature of godly love. We're going to look at things where he talks about these things of him. Jesus himself said, I am meek and lowly, and those kinds of things. And you get to see your father's heart on that matter. Well, you get that table of likes and dislikes still going. Well, in order to not just give you the mere doctrine of judgment, but to also produce your father's mind in you, and produce his heart and that small case spirit, his not only his thinking, what he thinks, but the way he thinks. How he generates thoughts in his mind is going to be how you're going to generate them within yours. Where your heart and your mind would race to get this information would be exactly where his heart and mind would race to grab hold of his information. And the book of your soul is going to begin to match the book in his soul. And those first two skill sets, along with what it developed in your heart, are now developed to the point where they can take on more than that, and they can take on more advanced decision-making skill sets. The judgment and the equity can now be taken. And what's going to happen, again, just to, I guess, warn you, if you don't have the full effectual working of the wisdom and justice, and at the very least those first four, if not the fifth one, but at least the first four major features of godly love, you're going to get into what might be called, for lack of a better expression, diminishing returns on all the doctrine in front of you. And it's going to work like that. And it's one of the most, I guess, frightening and daunting things that I have as the one who's teaching it to deal with, because I know that's what's going to happen. In other words, what do I mean by diminishing returns? Well, if you were to put a percentage on it, it's like you won't be able to get a sufficient enough. If you don't have everything that, if we don't pause here, go back and make sure that we've got everything running well in wisdom and justice, if that's not the case, you won't be able to get a sufficient enough of the effectual working of judgment. You'll then get an even lesser amount of the effectual working of equity, and even less and less of amount at the end of level one of level two. It's like if you only have 50% of the wisdom and justice working, you're only going to get about 25% of the judgment and about maybe 10% of the equity, and then 5% of beginning level two. And that, in other words, it's diminishing returns. The farther you go, the less you're able to do, because you don't have the capacity to do it. Even if you can read it, and even if you can comprehend it and all of that, there's more to godly edifying than just simply knowing information. So, I think it's real critical that we take time here and make sure that the exhortations are properly understood and that things are working well and properly. So therefore, when it comes to, in fact, let me just say that when it comes down to, I haven't mentioned a lot about it, but when it comes to an issue like equity, and especially what we're going to deal with there in Romans 14, 1 through 15, 7, if this diminishing return is going on, you won't have the capacity to make the kind of equitable judgments, and that's what equity is going to base itself upon, being able to make equitable judgments that you'll be called upon to make. Because you're going to be able to not only come along and with equity, you can look in the assembly and be able to identify a weaker brother and do it properly. And identify that brother as being weak and know why. But you'll also be able to come along and identify what is it that's making him weak. You'll be able to do that and do it without prying and all these kinds of things. And you're going to be able to identify a whole bunch of things about him without asking him about it. And I don't mean that's going to happen through telepathy or anything along those lines, or that the Holy Spirit's going to somehow speak to you on the matter or anything along those lines. But by your interaction with him or her, you're going to be able to ascertain that. And you're not going to make the stupid mistake of coming up to them and saying, you know, you're a weaker brother. But in equity, you're going to be able to, what you're going to do in equity is you're going to walk that fine line, and it is a razor fine line sometimes, between being a brother with him and not being a tutor and governor over him or towards him. You're going to be able to make sure that you come up to a point and you say, I can't cross that line because I would become your tutor and governor. And that's going to require all of your wisdom, all of your justice, all of your judgment to do that. Well, come back with me to the book of Proverbs. And all we're going to have time for tonight is to point out some things. By the way, I think, there's the exhortations. And I'm going to amend this a little bit from Proverbs 4 and verse 10 through 5 verse 6. And really take in, and we're going to embrace the whole chapter 4 from verse 1. One of the reasons that I did that back when we first went over this, and one of the things that too, when we come down to, for instance, and we're going to talk about, we're not going to get into any detail here tonight, I don't have time to do it. I'm just setting the stage for what we're going to do. When you deal with the exhortations that deal with the godly justice that we just finished, you had, beginning in chapter 3, my son, exhortations that went all the way down through verse 20, that dealt with the godly wisdom. And if you pay attention to the way that even the paragraph markers that our King James translators give us, you'll start seeing that that you've got exhortation on top of exhortation on top of exhortation, but then you hit verse 13, happy is the man. Now that's not an exhortation anymore. That goes into some expectations that your father has of how this is going to do its effectual job and some of the things that are expected to come out of it. Well, that's kind of the same pattern that's followed in the exhortations that deal with godly justice. Beginning in verse 21, my son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Justice isn't mentioned here. But what he's doing is he's exhorting you to take what I've just taught you and take that wisdom, and with wisdom and justice, you're going to keep sound. That's going to become sound, your sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy, and we've talked about some of this, life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Verse 27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power in thine hand to do it. Say not to thy neighbor, go and come again tomorrow, I will give when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. And then he gets to, so you got exhortation piled on top of exhortation. Then you get to verse, that paragraph that begins in verse 33, 34, and 35, and it again is something else. And it goes into kind of the leaning forward and of the expectation. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. There was your tip off that meekness is involved here. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Now we're going to talk about this a little bit more, not in huge detail, but we are going to touch upon this again. And then we're going to start looking at chapter 4, even though you might say these are post-doctrinal exhortations. I think it's going to be very important for us to get a lay of the land, exhortation-wise, of what our Father expects to take place before we begin judgment. It's going to help us out a great deal. And one of the things that you begin to notice, well, As you go through verses 21 through 35 of chapter 3, I'm going to tell you right now, my understanding is the bulk of the details of what's said there really pertains to Israel's program. So, and my, by the way, what I want to challenge you with and maybe leave you with homework on is read and reread these sections, especially chapter 4, verse 1 through chapter 5, verse 6 of Proverbs, and really start reading that. And when you read it, much like what you would do here in verses 21 through 35, don't read it by trying to ascertain every single detail of it application-wise. But ask yourself, what's my father doing? What is he doing by saying that? For instance, one of the things we haven't even mentioned, but it's sitting right in front of us there, and it's something that comes up at the end of, remember, this one in 21 through 35 here in chapter 3 is a post-doctrinal exhortation. It comes up after you've received the instruction of justice, and then you're at this point where this mild sonship checkpoint takes place, and the father's going to ensure that what's been gotten is up and running well, and what's about to take place is approached properly, and the son is able to move on with his father in that instruction. And one of the, and so you're going to see kind of, like I used that expression once before, a leaning back and a leaning forward. There's going to be a looking back at what has been accomplished, an exhortation to make sure it's all running well, and then a leaning forward to say, here's where it's going to go. And you get these ideas of that when you see things like what he says there in verse 27. Withhold not good from thy neighbor when it is in the power... With not... I need my glasses. I need to get those glasses. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, and it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not to thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. What's he, without the details of that and how that might apply, what's he after? Especially verse 28. Say not to thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow. What do we call that?
Procrastination.
That's right. Procrastination. Are you going to do it? Yeah. But not right now. I wonder what would cause that. Could it be something in your flesh that would say, well, there's something more important? But didn't we just say that meekness always has a course of action that's far more important and far more meaningful than any other course of action you want to take? You see what the Father's doing to the Son? He's saying, if this is how you're going to operate, things aren't running well. That's the nature of how these exhortations work with us. Some fascinating nuances that you can perceive when you take time to think about what he's saying, and not just what he's saying, but why is he putting it that way? What's he after? Well, anyway, before we go tonight, I do want, and we might end a little early tonight, but that's okay because I don't want to launch into something that I don't have time for. But I want you at least, while I'm here and in this setting, to get a hearing of chapter 4 of the exhortation that corresponds with the receiving of the instruction of judgment. And at first, when you read it, you think, what all does this have to do with judgment? Well, again, when you see the full orb development of what's taking place, that it's just not receiving some data, but there's a whole matter of the heart being enlarged. There's a matter of it not being straightened, because if your heart is straightened, your paths are going to be straightened. It's a matter of being able to now move into an area of being able to discern paths and that kind of thing. Now, you'll notice that chapter 4 begins a little bit differently than has ever taken place so far in the book of Proverbs. And that's why, when we first went over this, we said that the exhortation for us in particular begins in verse 10. Because in verse 1, he addresses, "Hear ye children." It doesn't say, "My son." But that's an indication to me that it's almost like the Father's been giving individual instruction, but now he has cause to step back and say, "All right, children, we're at a checkpoint. Let's stop for a moment and check some things out. But for now, I just want you to hear some of this. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father," and I wish I could read this, you know, with the real punch of it. But we'll see. "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son." And now he's going to go on. Do you get the idea? In those first 9 verses, the father is really wound up about something. He is. This is another indication that The Father is almost pleading with the Son. Why all of a sudden you've gone through this? There's been times of exhortation to hear my words and attend to my and all this kind of thing. But man, packed into these nine verses is just this almost intensified Father grabbing the Son and saying, but now you've really got to listen. Now you've really got to get wisdom. And there's wisdom to be gained in all of these issues. But one of the reasons why he continues, he can just use that word wisdom is because that's that not if you didn't think of this compartmentally, you'd have no problem with the Father saying, get wisdom, and knowing he means get wisdom, justice, and judgment. Get these things. By just saying get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's not that these are blocks that lay side by side or anything, but they're all one unit that has a basis for it, which is wisdom, then justice, then judgment, then equity. And the Father views them that way. And he can use the terminology like he does here. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. You understand. He's going through a scope of this. Anyway, I said I wasn't going to get into all of this all that much. And that's not really getting into it all. It's just giving you an idea of the nature of the exhortation. Begin there in verse 10. He says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. Didn't that word come up in Romans 10 or Romans 13? I think it did. Romans 13 and verse. My eyes will adjust. Verse 9. For this thou shalt commit adultery, it's time to quit. When you're teaching thou shalt commit adultery, you know it's time to call it a night. You just throw in a towel, wave the white flag, I surrender. My brain is not going at all. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying. One of the things we're going to have to do is learn what a saying is. Because one of the things a son is going to operate on now differently than he ever did in wisdom and justice, he's going to now operate upon sayings. And a saying is built. And we'll talk about that. But he says, hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. There's justice. Right, righteous, righteous, just path, right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. Again, you have to ask yourself, why is he telling me this? There must be a danger or a risk that they could be. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Now, we've talked about the evil man. Here, evil men are going to be a problem. And there's a path that they go. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not into the way. There's a way of the evil man. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Interesting that that word would come up after having received the instruction of justice. But the path of the just, this is the path that you're going now. You've got wisdom and justice, and the path of the just is going to lead to judgment. The path of the just is as the shining light. Didn't I tell you this is where your sonship life begins to shine? The path of the just is judgment. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That's where we're going, son. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They trip and fall on stuff that's so dark to them they don't even know what they tripped over. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings again. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. It was health to their navel, but now health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. And these are some verses we're going to look at pretty heavy. Verse 25, 26, and 27. Let thine eyes look right on. This is where a son, when he's been instructed in judgment, having that full use of those first four major sonship decision features of godly love and charity, he's able to have all these decisions in front of him where a judgment call is going to be made, and he can almost like lasers look right at that one and look right on. And all these others, and all of this temptation, and everything that he's going to get from his flesh rising up to try to resist it, and the world trying to resist it, and the policy of evil trying to resist it, look right on. Man, this is, when we get to the end of verse 14 of Romans 13, and we come back to that, man, is that going to be powerful. When you put on the armor of light, and you cast off the works of darkness, and you begin to receive, you look right on. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Now here's what I'm after. Ponder. There's the word I told you in the last lesson is the word our Father uses for the kind of work that judgment is going to take. You're going to have to ponder something. And folks, it takes time to ponder things. Ponder the path of thy feet. There you are. You can go this way, this way, this way, this way. Before you go, ponder it. That seems like that seems like very shallow advice. Unless you've been taught to make godly judgments. I mean, how would you like it if somebody, you know, somebody comes into a psychiatrist's office and they've got all these different decisions they want to make. Help me sort this all out. And all he says is, well, now ponder it for a moment. He said, give me my money back. That's not what I came here for. But it isn't shallow at all. It's not just a Band-Aid when you need the whole medical kit. That's your Father saying something when you've got the skill to do it. And that's all he needs to say. Ponder it. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And then we have the additional issue coming up in chapter 5. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion. And this is where discretion really begins to shine, in judgment. And that thy lips may keep knowledge, for the lips of a strange woman, here comes the strange woman now, drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. By the way, that ought to tell you where some of the opposition from the policy of evil is going to come. It's going to come from somebody who is going to try to use either the Word of God itself or something very much like the Word of God as a sharp two-edged sword. The only other time that two-edged sword is brought up over there in Hebrews where it's applied right to the Word of God itself. In fact, strange woman is going to oftentimes use the Bible itself against you to try to get you to comply with it, with her. And he goes on and he says, her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell, lest thou should ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Well, again, all I'm after here tonight is to kind of set the stage for what we're going to do. And we're going to at least get a sufficient enough look at this exhortation that I think is going to set the stage for what we are about to do when it comes to... Now, you might say, well, a lot of this we could do at the end. That may be true. But I think because of the ye children differences that occur in this exhortation, there's the indication to me anyway that we're at one of these more mild sonship checkpoints where some things preliminary needs to be said in order for the real punch of what we deal with will be grasped, and you'll have hopefully the godly enthusiasm to be able to continue on in the area of judgment as you have with wisdom and justice. Well, anyway, that's what we're going to be doing for the next few Bible classes anyway. I'm not saying this is going to take us 6 months, but what we're going to do for the next several Bible classes is spend some time back here with these exhortations to get a little bit used to the expectations our Father has that's going to come out of a relatively short amount of information and just two components. And so it's really a critical moment in our lives, and we'll continue on to exhort ourselves to that and set the table to receive properly the instruction of judgment. And probably, what?
Is it possible that he's addressing us as children so we would have the enthusiasm, because it's the beginning of something?
Yeah, sure. I don't have a problem with that. No. What I was going to say was that I would... It's just my idea, so take it for what it's worth, but after we do this preliminary work and everything where we can put a cap on it and say, okay, all of the foundation has been laid, everything is set now to begin proper the instruction of judgment, probably at that point wouldn't be a bad idea to maybe have another Lord's table where we can bring to the table then the fullness of our instruction of wisdom and the fullness of our instruction of justice just before we get underway with judgment. Because the Lord's table will take on even greater significance, believe me, when we get done with just judgment and the nature of having then donned the armor of light and what that's all about. All right, so that's preview of coming attractions. You look confused. What you're starting to see is their framework for their sonship education.
Exactly.
Yep. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. I about fell off my chair when you said that.
Okay. Well, we'll put an end to it there for tonight with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for the opportunity of studying your word together tonight. Well, great things await us, and we pray to be properly prepared to receive it. And just great, gracious, and so grateful for the grace and the benefits that you've given us, so much more than we ever dreamed we received when we were justified unto eternal life. We thank you for the privilege of living as sons in this world, where it's a rich environment for us to be able to put into practice who you've made us to be in Christ, to be trained for this, our heavenly vocation. And we just pray that we once again continue to be edified properly unto godliness and conform to the image of your dear Son. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You are dismissed.